Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to AmagiMetals.com and check them out. That's AmagiMetals.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, here with my co-host, Ian Hewitt. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Austin.
Hello, sir. Today, we are talking about one of our favorite topics, it seems, or at least our audience's favorite topics, it appears. Last time we talked about this issue, we got a ton of views, which we want to keep on because we think this is an important topic. This is something that deals with our most basic freedoms in our criminal justice system and our way of life. We're talking about marijuana, people, and today the big issue is Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey, who slammed Colorado over their pot shops and legalized marijuana. He said, for the people who are, quote, enamored with the idea with the income, the tax revenue from this, go to Colorado and see if you want to live there, Christie said on a New Jersey radio station. See, if you want to live in a major city in Colorado where there's head shops popping up on every corner and people flying in your airport just to come and get high, to me, it's just not the quality of life we want to have here in the state of New Jersey, and there's no tax revenue that's worth that, he says. I am not going to turn our state into a place where people fly in to get high. And if people want legalized marijuana in the state, elect a new governor. And he says that the only way legalized marijuana is ever going to happen in New Jersey is if he's gone. What do you think, Ian?
You know, Chris Christie's not an idiot, and it's becoming more and more acceptable in mainstream politics to advocate for marijuana decriminalization. I mean, his policies are idiotic,
right?
But he's, you know, reasonably educated. I think he must know on some level there's really no real reason to not decriminalize marijuana. And by he's not an idiot, I mean he's not that, you know, sheriff in Colorado that said marijuana was causing mayhem in the streets. I think what's going on, it wasn't a Colorado sheriff actually, it was someone else talking about Colorado. But I think what's going on here is that he sees that the Republican Party is moving in a more libertarian direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sees that there is a vacuum and an opening for someone who supports the full range of big government authoritarian positions. And so he's trying to play that role and win over those people in the party that still want to see someone who has all of those positions. Well, why he's doing this.
Now, hold on. I want to define our terms because you used the word decriminalization. And the thing is that our audience needs to understand, and we need to understand in order to set the terms of this debate, that there is a difference between decriminalization of drugs and legalization of drugs. So the decriminalization of drugs means that if you were to be caught with a certain amount of marijuana, for example, under a certain amount, then you could, instead of going to jail, let's say a police officer caught you with marijuana on the street, instead of going to jail, the officer might issue a ticket. Now, that means that the drugs are still illegal. You just won't be necessarily a criminal. You'll have to just pay a civil fine, for example, maybe your first, second, or third time that you're caught with under a certain amount of drugs. So decriminalizing drugs doesn't mean that they're legal. It just means that you won't necessarily serve jail time if you're caught if you have possession of a small amount. Now, legalization, that is different. That's when the government actually steps in and regulates the activity, the economic activity, and says, okay, marijuana is now legal. Legalization means that it's state sanctioned and the state takes a profit off of it. In a decriminalization type scenario, decriminalization means that the black market, the cartels, are still providing drugs. It's just that low, and they're still prosecuting high-end drug offenders, people with, you know, who are obviously selling marijuana or other drugs. So that's the difference between decriminalization and legalization. Now that we've defined our terms, I want to get into this debate because it appears as if there's some strange inconsistency on Chris Christie's part from what he says here in today in this New Jersey story mm-hmm. about what he says he would never legalize in marijuana in New Jersey and what he said in his inaugural address. Listen to this, Ian. Now, this was when he gave his second inaugural address, and he says that at the end of his speech, he outlined how he want to reform the state's drug sentencing policy. Listen to his words. "We will end the failed war on drugs that believes that incarceration is the cure of every ill caused by drug abuse," Christie said. "We will make drug treatment available to as many of our nonviolent offenders as we can, and we will partner with our citizens to create a society that understands that every life has value and no life is disposable." Okay, so he just won the he just won the governorship of New Jersey, and he's giving that speech. And
right.
So now he's saying that he will never have legalized marijuana in New Jersey. What the hell's going on?
I'm not sure there's an inconsistency here, because I think what he was saying is, by end the war on drugs, I mean I still want to continue this bloated and massive large-scale operation, but I want to add to the program mandatory rehabilitative programs that we'll put all these people into after we arrest them. So essentially, it'd have similar effects to the current war on drugs, but we would be spending more money.
So how is that considered ending the war on drugs from any sort of definition of the words? It doesn't make any sense.
It's nonsensical. Yeah, he's twisting the words, but I think that is what
he meant. He's trying to play both sides.
Well, in his opening speech, he added, you know, that his focus is on rehabilitation and on mandating drug treatment for these people. So, yeah, I think he was deceiving us a little bit in the way that he crowbarred the term war on drugs.
Oh, crowbarred there. It. Absolutely. He jammed it in there, sat on it, and pushed it in. Listen to this. He said, "You can certainly make the argument that no one should try drugs in the first place. I certainly am in that camp. But tens of millions of people in our society do every year, and for some people, they can try it and walk away from it. But for the others, the first time they try it, they become an addict, and they're sick, and they need treatment." Okay.
Yeah.
So he's basically saying, not saying end the war on drugs. He's saying put these people into treatment, but prosecute them.
Right.
But put them into treatment. I don't get it.
My only point is that when he made these remarks initially, the libertarians, they were like, yay, you know, Christie's turning
sounds
around
like
on drugs.
Loosening up.
I think we should have known then that this is what he meant, was because he very clearly said multiple times what he wants to do is mandate treatment for everyone. So he wants to continue something very similar to what we're doing now,
yeah.
Only you would be required to go through drug treatment if you were arrested for drugs.
I hate stuff like this. This just really sticks in my craw, because people like Chris Christie, first of all, obviously the guy's no libertarian, but I mean, if you're going to have a policy, at least make it clear. I mean, I think that the problem here with Chris Christie is that nobody knows what the hell he really stands for. You know, it's everything is so murky. You can't see through it. You don't know if he was involved in that bridge scandal. You know, the mainstream establishment Republicans are desperate for a revival of Chris Christie and for this type of republicanism. It's that squishy George W. Bush end of his term conservatism that they want, you know, the establishment Republicans want, and it is just so the opposite of the values of limited government types such as yourself and myself.
Well, the really Bush want. Administration had ideas. They were bad ideas, but they had policy ideas. Chris Christie, I think, is just a business person. There are lots of people, I think, that are in the Republican Party, and this is one thing that differentiates the Republicans from the Democrats, that are just in the party and because it's a business. Politics is a business to them, and they couldn't care less, you know, what policy they're going to legislate.
All right, listen to this. New Jersey Chris Christie, this comes out of the Denver News Channel. You know, they were repeating the story about it, and they were basically saying in the story that they're worried that if Chris Christie became the president of the United States, all of a sudden, the DEA, which has been sort of, you know, backed away from Colorado and Washington after they've legalized it, that the DEA all of a sudden under a Chris Christie administration would start getting tough, kicking down doors and busting people for doing what is legal in the state of Colorado. And I fear that too. That, you know what? If anything, I just... It is so frustrating, Ian, because, you know, you want a good Republican to get in there, somebody like a Rand Paul to get in and, you know, win the, you know, have the presidency. And then you think about these other Republicans and what they would do. And it just makes you want to work against the Republicans so hard, because if they nominated Chris Christie, like, it's like libertarians such as myself just want to hit the nuke option on these sons of bitches and blow them out of the water. Because, listen, Hillary Clinton is bad, but worse are the people who betray the principles that they claim to believe in. The Republicans who say they believe in limited government, and then they expand the surveillance state, they expand the war on drugs. I mean, I am just so freaking ready to hit the panic button if somebody like Chris Christie were to win the nomination or even get close to winning the nomination. I would go rogue again in 2016. It doesn't mean I'd vote for Hillary Clinton, but it would probably I would probably help make sure it happens, just because if Mitt Romney had won.
Right.
Do you think that the Republican Party would have been so lined up behind Senator Rand Paul right now, or that he could have had a drone filibuster?
No, it's certainly fortuitous for
absolutely
us that
not.
Romney did not win.
That's
in terms
right.
of advancing within the party.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And I don't like to just kick over people's sandcastles, you know, if they're trying to have a good time. But when you're building an evil Game of Thrones-style castle like the Republican Party could be doing with Chris Christie, then I will be kicking that sandcastle
now,
down.
Now, Christie is losing. It's important to remember. He's losing. Within the Republican Party, if you go on Real Clear Politics and you look at their table of 2016 mm-hmm. presidential polls, Paul is well ahead of Christie mm-hmm. In their average and in most of the polls you look at there. Mm-hmm. So our main competition right now is going to be Bush and Huckabee for the time being.
Yeah,
I think we should talk a little bit about this study that Christie cited to back up his claims that we need to keep marijuana criminalized everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
This study has been touted in the media a lot, and it really only looked at 20 marijuana smokers. It's mm-hmm. the study that attributed brain abnormalities to marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh yeah, that was a big
the
one.
Main claim the media has been pushing is that even smoking marijuana casually can cause brain abnormalities. But not only did it only look at 20 people, but those 20 people weren't all casual marijuana smokers. Some of the people smoked marijuana every day. So we have an incredibly small
serious?
Sample size.
Okay,
yeah.
I did not get that in depth on the study that I just read, like, obviously the Fox News article about it. So you're telling me that they only took a study of 20 people and that the 20 people that they studied were not casual smokers, but all the articles were saying even casual marijuana smoking could lead to long-term brain damage.
Right. Basically, they looked at a handful of casual marijuana smokers and determined that it caused brain abnormalities.
20, though? 20?
Less than 20.
Less than 20?
20 marijuana smokers. Some of those 20, though, smoked marijuana every day.
Do you even science, bro? Like, do you
right,
understand
exactly.
what sample sizes are?
This is
are?
Very common with people that want to argue for marijuana criminalization.
Uh-huh.
If you remember, there was a big White House petition to mm-hmm. to legalize marijuana that mm-hmm. Drug czar Gil Kerlikowske responded to, mm-hmm. Obama's former drug czar.
Uh-huh.
And he cited a study that looked at 65 students, several of whom had smoked marijuana 27 out of the previous 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not convinced at all that there's substantial harmful effects, but I do think this is an important opportunity to point out that we miss the forest through the trees if we focus on the harmful effects.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, 1 in 5 deaths in the U.S. is caused by tobacco is not an ironclad argument for criminalizing tobacco. The
right.
fact that alcohol kills 75,000 people a year is not an argument for prohibition. That worked out disastrously.
Obviously.
We can't always assist on perfection. It's about getting the best possible result.
Well, you know, what was interesting, so and it just so funny that, you know, Ambassador John Bolton was on the show last week, and he says he's a libertarian, and then I ask him about the war on drugs, and he's like, we've got to step up the cartel, the fight against the cartels, and devote more resources to fighting this war on drugs. And, you know, you would sort of put John Bolton in the same camp as Chris Christie, but, I mean, at least Chris Christie sort of tries to adopt some anti-drug war rhetoric. But people like John Bolton, it feels as if like they're still living in the 1980s, like just say no era or something like that. Is the Republican Party is obviously in a state of total disarray right now, which only plays to the advantage of libertarians such as ourselves, because it gives us the opportunity to make hay while the sun shines.
Right. Well, what Christie's doing, I think, is he's dressing up drug warrior policies in anti-drug war rhetoric.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I think he's actually promoting an expansion of the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. If you really think about the implications of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
John Bolton's argument is actually that if we legalize drugs, the drug cartels would make more money. So, of course, that explains why, you know, there's no liquor stores now. Everyone still goes to the mob to get their alcohol.
Right.
It's common sense. Every middle schooler that learns about prohibition knows people would prefer to buy alcohol from liquor stores that don't shoot people. Mm-hmm. And that's why the mob and Al Capone, you know, don't run the country now. And right. we buy our alcohol from reputable sources.
Well, yeah. And like the war on drugs has so many side effects, economic side effects that people don't realize. And the thing is that most people who are casually for the war on drugs, I would say, you know, your average conservative, your average, you know, tyrannical social democrat, those people, they have their own separate reasons for wanting to keep drugs illegal. But I think that most people who are those casual drug warriors, for example, who have bought into the propaganda, are probably going to see even more of a radical shift in their opinions over the next few years as more and more data is coming out from places like Colorado and Washington, and we see the effect that it has. So we did a podcast a couple weeks ago about Colorado, Denver, and how in Denver, crime has taken a slight downtick. Now, we got chastised by our readers because they said, hey, well, you know, there was also a polar vortex, so maybe crime's going down because less people are going outside. Fair, you know. Correlation is not always causation. But I think over the longer time, over a longer timeline, probably by the end of the year, we're going to have some good data about what's going on in Denver and the amount of crime that, which I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say right now that I'll bet you that crime overall will fall by the end of the year.
We didn't necessarily attribute the downtick to marijuana. What we said is, hey, this is strong evidence that it hasn't caused an increase. That's right. Really the important claim we needed to make.
Well, but you know, this thing is this whole patrician sort of like, you know, Victorian attitude that Chris Christie takes. He's like, do you want to live in a city like Denver where people come into your airport just to get high? Well, screw you, Governor Christie. What the hell do you care why people come to your city, to come to your state? What, you can't stand the fact that people are going to come into your state and get a little high and, you know, have the munchies and maybe buy a little bit of food from your state? You know, people actually do like tourism, you know. Some people in Amsterdam, I mean, to play devil's advocate, some people in Amsterdam do like say, oh gosh, I don't like all these people coming here for the tourism and stuff like that. But the local businesses sure enjoy the boost, the economic boost that they get from it. And you know, if all Chris Christie's argument here is like, it's just this very Victorian era sort of like disgust with the underclass, you know what I mean? And I just, it just really irks me, you know what I mean? Because that's, you know what he's talking to right there? He's talking to the old people. He's talking to the olds. He's talking to old people who are listening to radio, and you know, the young people listen to podcasts like this one. Old people listen to radio. Chris Christie was talking on the radio when he gave this announcement. So you know he was picturing all those blue hairs who are just sitting around worried about all those reefer-smoking jazz kids nowadays. They're listening to that dirty jazz and they're, you know, they're smoking their reefer.
Well,
it's just an old attitude. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, that's who he's trying to appeal to. And, yeah. And it's not a sustainable demographic if you want to win elections.
Reefer jazz.
As far as conservatives who are casually for the drug war, this has worked for years on the vast majority of conservatives that I've talked to about this issue. Most are not strongly for the drug war. They've just never thought about it that much. Mm-hmm. You say the war on drugs, drug mm-hmm. prohibition, taxes people and expands government to protect people from the consequences of mistakes they make in their own homes. Mm-hmm. If we could get all libertarians to just pitch the issue to conservatives that way, we would win this very rapidly. You need to pitch it that way instead of saying, you know, it's my right to do heroin if I would like to.
Right. Well,
while that is true, we can pitch this in a more rhetorically appealing way.
Well, we are winning.
And would speed this process up.
We are winning.
We're doing very well because people are doing that. People like Rand Paul are doing that.
Well, people like Rand Paul. But here's the thing. You're talking about the real short-term victories that we have right now. But you have to understand the legalization movement's been going on since the 60s and 70s. And the reason why they didn't win in the 60s and 70s was because of poorly crafted legislation, poorly worded rhetoric for how to legalize. It was what you said. It was the, you know, it's my hot body. I do what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I kill people. I do what I want. You know, it's my body. And people don't like that. And so it's just bad rhetoric. You know, obviously, if it's your hot body, you could do what you want. That's what I believe as a libertarian. But just because I believe that doesn't mean that I'll necessarily go give a speech using that kind of Cartman-style rhetoric. Ian makes a great point here. The reality is that if we want to win, we've got to speak the language. And you know, in the 1980s, the rhetoric changed. It changed from it's my hot body, I do what I want, to it's a medical issue. And, you know, the real drug warriors of the time, those smart ones, were like, this is the camel in the tent. They're lying. They want legalization. They want full legalization. This isn't a medical issue. Well, yeah, you're right. So what? Come on, some conservative is going to grab this for their campaign ad someday. They're going to be like, you see, we were right. They do want full legalization. And yes, but people who are sick, people who are cancer patients, obviously they absolutely should have the right to seek treatment. And if that treatment involves, you know, eating medical cannabis to soothe their pain. I know a lot of people who do that, who had cancer, who have cancer, and certainly those people need to be able to have that option. But yes, of course, behind the legalization for marijuana comes the discussion, the scary discussion of full-blown legalization. So here's my question. Do me a favor, Ian. Mm-hmm. You're a reasonable guy. Give me the 30-second pitch on why you, as a conservative libertarian, believe that all drugs should be legalized, even heroin. Pitch me.
It's always a choice between letting some people do dumb things that really want to do dumb things to themselves, and propping up huge cartels that cause lots of deaths and expanding government and raising taxes on everyone. Mm-hmm. So now when someone says to me, but things won't be perfect. Some people will be doing drugs, so it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. I want everything to be perfect. Mm-hmm. Then you have to say, well, look, we can't make everything perfect because we don't live in a perfectible world. Mm-hmm. We need to get the best possible result. And conservatives understand that rhetoric, and it mm-hmm. works.
Okay, but here, all right, so we're going to roll. I want to role play for just a minute. All mm-hmm. right, I'm a senior at a senior center. You're volunteering, and like somebody hears that you're a libertarian, this old lady. I'm the old lady, and she heard that you're a libertarian. She starts giving you the stink eye. She's mm-hmm. looking at you real mean, and she's like, black people smoking marijuana around this neighborhood. It's just, I can't stand libertarians who want to legalize it because then all those Mexicans come across the border and they're smoking that marijuana. Why are you a libertarian, son? Don't you believe in God and Jesus who save, bless your heart?
I think if I actually encountered that ridiculous person, I would probably end the conversation at that point.
All right, so I set up a straw man. Yeah. But here's the thing. So come on now. So let's say an old grizzled World War II veteran. Then okay, so the old lady gets taken off by the nurse.
Here's what I'll say.
No, well, come on.
If someone, role play. Let's say I come across someone that just really doesn't like drug users. That's yeah. perfectly understandable. I think it's a terrible decision. Mm-hmm. What you say to that person is that the war on drugs, what it actually does is it taxes people who are being responsible and not using drugs, and it reappropriates that money to help protect the drug users from the consequences of their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's the intention, at least, of the war on drugs, is, hey, we need to make sure these people aren't doing bad things to themselves. If people want to make mistakes, let them face the consequences. That should be our principle.
I fought for my country in World War II. I did not fight for a country where people could just be doing drugs out in the street anytime, Ian. So what would you say to that?
Well, you're paying for drug users now. I guess if you don't want people doing drugs like outside your house, that's perfectly reasonable. There's homeowners associations, neighborhood associations, and so forth for that. Mm-hmm. I'm not in favor of, you know, mandating that externalities be imposed on you and people be allowed to, you know, do drugs right in front of your home.
You're using too many big words, Sonny. I'm afraid I don't understand what you're saying. And we're going to have to cut it off here anyway, Ian, because we're going long on this podcast.
Well, I'm talking to you. The simple answer is you should use local government to make sure that, you know, the people next door to you aren't blowing, you know, meth smoke over into your house or something like that.
And speaking of local government, let's do everything we can to make sure that Chris Christie stays local in New Jersey in 2016. Let's keep Chris Christie as local as possible.
Let me just add one more detail to that. The fuller answer is, if you break this down to a local level, then people that want to do drugs out in the open, in the streets and so forth, can go away to a locality where that's permissible, and you won't have to deal with them at all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, smoke them if you got them. So what do you guys think about the Freedom Report? Have you guys been enjoying the podcast? If so, subscribe to us on iTunes. But if you have an Android phone, you can go to Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com, go to your Google Play Store, download the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to the Freedom Report there. Tell us what you think. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com on the front page. You can send us a tip, a comment, or a podcast topic. You can tell us you love us, tell us you hate us, tell us what you think, whatever you want to say. And do us a favor, if you really like us, go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and send us your email. If you enter this month, you're going to be entered into a contest to win a replica of George Washington's flintlock pistol. It's a beautiful pistol that's a perfect replica of the same gun that our first president wore during the American Revolution. Again, I really appreciate you guys for listening to our podcast. We are very excited about how big the audience is growing. It's something like 2 Madison Square Gardens full of people listen to us every single day. It's an amazing amount of people that are listening to us. So we just want to say thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen out there, for listening to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the LibertarianRepublic.com.